Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Janelda, for leading us there again. Greatly appreciated every time. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 4 again. Psalm chapter 4. I guess in recent years, often in trying to think through what our worship experience is, we're aware that everything we do here this morning is very intentional. It is not a format that we work our way through, but rather it is an orderly form of worship. That's what God calls us to in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Let all things be done in order. In other words, there ought not to be confusion, but very real intention in what we do. And so when we come to this part of the service, some people would call this the sermon time. And in recent times, I've been very aware in thinking through, do we need another sermon time? Or is the real issue, we need a message time? It's like, God, speak to me. Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, we are so aware that everything that we've done thus far in our service, it's been with the intention of reminding us who you are, who we are, and how we can walk together. And when we come to this time now where your word is opened, we just don't want another sermon. We want you to speak to us. And so prepare our hearts, as we've just sung, and by your Holy Spirit, make the message relevant to where we live. Help us to be more like Jesus because of your speaking to me, to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The term wait times, boy, it just brings an array of emotions to our minds, doesn't it? And if I were to say the emergency room or the specialist's appointment or connecting flights or waiting for that person who never answers their cell phone messages, it brings an array of frustration. It makes us tired thinking about it sometimes. It's the issue of a roller coaster of emotions. But the implication is that something has taken up my time, and it's been a long time. And while I was sitting there and waiting, I had a whole lot of assumptions going on in my mind. I had a few questions, and it was very wearying. Perhaps it is not the short times of waiting that bother us so much as the long haul of waiting for things. And this morning I want to try to, I'm going after some of those long haul things intentionally, just to justify the fact that there is a place for the message that I want to talk about today. I think it is down to earth. It is real life. We've all experienced it. And so we have all known the weariness of waiting a long time. And the question really today is this: does following Jesus help in this whole issue of waiting in my life? Because if it doesn't, then the message is a waste. Does following Jesus help when the prodigal son just won't come home or back to God? Does waiting help when a family member won't get help for an addiction that they're struggling with? What about this issue of waiting when a team member or a work partner or even a fellow believer won't take responsibility. You know, we're talking about the community, but we're also talking about our families and our church family. What about waiting when a spouse just won't get with the program? What about when grieving seems to be less manageable? Again, we've been here before. That's one of the things about waiting. We seem to return to the same place if we're not careful over and over. Waiting when we lose precious things, just like Job. He lost his whole family. He lost his possessions. What about the issue of waiting when we still have to bow to those government officials in Egypt, and we've been doing this for over 400 years, would say an Israelite. Some of us would sum this up by saying this. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for it. And I don't like it. We may have all the devotion in the world to live for Jesus, but right now, I'm feeling disheartened. Or it may be that I'm still praying and I'm still fighting for change, but nothing is changing. And so as Bob read those first two verses this morning, this was the tone of the psalm. It's like in an unchanging situation, the psalmist says, "Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief in my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. How long, O men, will you turn my glory into shame? And how long will you love delusions and seek false gods?" The waiting game is certainly not easy. And for some, it would almost seem easier to cut and run. And for others, stand and fight. Waiting takes its toll. And if we're not careful, waiting can wear us down. Are you with me? Now, are we talking about some realities today? Because wait times, long wait times, have an impact upon our spiritual lives that can nibble away at us and just pick, 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 and wear us down. And that's really kind of what I want to talk about today. The issue that being a spiritual person, because it's waiting in spirituality today, being a spiritual person isn't easy when we live in a real world with real people, including myself. And so when we talk about being spiritual, let me say this, that God has created us a living being. In other words, I'm breathing. But also, God has created in us a capacity for a relationship with Him. And as we know, when a person knows Jesus, they have the person of the Holy Spirit come in living within them. So I have the joy of walking with God, listening and responding to the prompting and teaching and the reminding ministry and the strengthening ministry and the enabling ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so to walk with God means that I need to be, my spirit needs to be in touch with His Spirit. And spirituality, by definition, is that indeed we enter into a relationship with the living God and we love Him. And that love is shown by constant faith in Him and obedience to Him. In other words, it's measurable. If I want to ask, how am I doing spiritually? All I have to do is to take the measuring tape of the Bible and compare my life with it. And particularly, if you want a short list, it's Galatians chapter 5, where the fruit of the Spirit or the spiritual, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And among all the things there is this issue of self-control. This is what I want to talk about a little bit today, because to be waiting and spiritual involves me being consistent in my life. And that means that self-control, the self-control that the Holy Spirit enables me to have, must be in place. If I am shaken from my spirituality, my walk with God, by everything that comes along on planet Earth, it shows my weakness. I need to grow to be strong spiritually so that I stand spiritually in my walk with God regardless of the big things or the little things that can happen in my life and just wear me down so that I end up in a heap spiritually. That isn't what God wants. And so these first two verses, really, we've already talked about them. It reveals the condition of a soul. And maybe this morning it's our soul who experiences the long haul of whatever wait time. It may be for my enemies to go away. It may be a physical issue, an emotional issue, a marriage issue. It could be a church. There's a whole lot of things that can just wear us down spiritually. And if we're not careful, we walk away from God. And so the psalmist, the little trend here in these first two verses seems to be, verse 1, he looks to heaven because he feels the earth, in verse 2. He is crying out to God in prayer because he's feeling the frustration and the long time distress. That's what he prayed. Lord, deliver me from my distress. This has gone on long enough. And as we've mentioned before, I wonder sometimes if this is a little bit harder for us who claim to know Jesus, because we know that God loves us. And we know that he is absolutely sovereign. And yet many of us have been praying for years and waiting. And at times we're getting weary. And yet what I am maintaining today is that in the waiting, we need to maintain spirituality. Our walk with God must be consistent. It cannot crumble because of the long haul of some wait time in our lives. And the next two or three verses are particularly what I want to talk about. In my Bible, because I've gone over this passage a number of times, verses 3-5 talk about consistent spirituality. And I'm going to make four statements here. You can write them down if you're used to writing things down, because they may be helpful. But it's like the psalmist here is counseling himself. It's got very personal now. In other words, he's saying like, okay, this distress is not going away. The enemy is not letting up. For some reason, God has not seen fit to perform a miracle and take this all away from me. And so if that hasn't happened, what must I do right now? Or what must I do through this time? And we could sum it up in saying, I have decided to follow Jesus and there's no turning back. And so these next few verses are like planting our feet. And I'm going to make statements that I believe do sum up how we need to face our difficult wait times. It would go like this. Statement number 1. While I wait, know that the godly are set apart for God's pleasure. This is what he says. Know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. God is deeply attentive to godly people. He loves the righteous. He loves those who are committed to the obedience of doing His will. So God's purposes become my purposes, and His desire is for me. And His purpose is that I be that godly person consistently, that I don't crumble. This is my calling, and it's yours, and it's our pleasure. And so the simple point is this: we need to know where I need to be. It, in some respects, and I don't mean to be glib, because this touches all of us. These things that we wait for touch all of us very deeply. And we have times of deep struggle and emotion, maybe even sleeplessness, maybe just wrestling with God. But the point is that I need to be where I need to be, come hell or high water. And getting there is like affirming that I am very special to God. He has set apart the godly for Himself. And that's who I am. That's who I want to be. That's who I consistently want to be. And so God's favor would be upon me. I need to affirm that in my heart. That I am a blessed person because God has set me apart for Himself. I need to remember who I am. We always do. Number two, while I wait, I need to know that the Lord will hear when I call to Him. At the second half of verse 3, the Lord will hear when I call to Him. That's what it says. That's where I got it, right there. The Lord will hear when I call to Him. Now, what's going on in our minds is, does not hearing from Him or getting no answer, or does a delayed answer mean no answer? And we all know it doesn't. In a simple way of seeing it, sometimes we say that God answers prayer every time. And sometimes He says yes. And sometimes He says no, because He knows what is best for us. And sometimes He says wait. What we're testing here is the fact that I trust Him whatever response He makes. And just because it's a delayed one doesn't mean He's not paying attention. So I need to affirm in my mind while I wait that the Lord will hear. I affirm that I will trust God even in His silence. Because God often works in silence. And He often works in the darkness. Let me take you to Psalm 34. And I just want to share a few verses because this sort of sums up what we have been saying. Psalm 34. And this is a verse that you may even want to memorize. I've memorized it. And I can't tell you how many hospital rooms I bring up this verse in. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. That was our statement number one. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Statement number two. And His ears are attentive to their cry. And then it says, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And we're going to talk about something else in a few minutes, but often He will do that in His time. Because He knows us. And He knows what we need. So the affirmation that we need to make when we're waiting is that God does hear our prayer, and we need to trust Him. Statement number three, while I wait, process my anger, but do not sin. Verse 4, it says, in your anger, do not sin. And when you are on your beds, search your hearts and be silent. That's a big verse. Let me put it this way. Anger is an emotion. It's a God-given emotion. He created us to, if need be angry. God gets angry. There are reasons for anger. Sometimes those reasons are justified. Thank God that some people get very angry about human trafficking. And thank God that some people get angry about child abuse and famine and people starving and abortion. Thank God for that type of anger. Anger may be something that preserves life. It is righteous. Now we need to be very careful, because anger could be because we're selfish and we're narrow-minded and we have fears. And so we can't get our own way. And certainly that is not consistent with being spiritual. But it is a possibility. So, not getting what I rightfully deserve or have worked for or have been entitled to is something that stirs up anger in us, doesn't it? Every one of us feel, I deserve this. And I have a right to be angry right now. What this portion has to do with is this. Anger is not sin. Anger is an emotion. Mismanaged anger leads to sin. Do you recognize the difference? Anger is not sin. Mismanaged anger leads to sin. And that's why the psalmist said, in your anger, was he upset because it just wouldn't go away? Yep. In your anger, do not sin. So that's why I talked about the need to be one or to walk with the Holy Spirit, who gives us a characteristic called self-control. I may have a right to be angry. Listen, I may have a right to be angry. But if I sin, my problem is with God. I am becoming inconsistent. If I sin because I'm angry, my problem is not with that individual or that situation or this predicament or this long-haul thing that's just wearing every nerve in my body. My problem, if I sin, is with God. Because at that point, what I am saying is, I'm tired of waiting, God, and I don't know what you're doing, and I don't know where you are, and so I'm going to take the matter into my own hands. And now, I'm being inconsistent. And so it says here that in your anger, do not sin. And when you're on your bed, search your heart and be silent. I just wrote this down here. There is a time to search our hearts before God and listen to Him. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to do the right thing at the right time, in the right way. And then I'm lying on my bed and thinking through these things. I need to focus on listening to God. And when it says be silent, at first I just thought, well, this means zip your lip, because that's good advice. If you're really angry, it might be well for us to just zip it for a minute until we get that anger managed to the point that when whatever needs to be said at this moment comes out in the right way. But the other issue of being silent is I'm listening. I'm listening to God and I'm seeking His wisdom. So this is a great verse. People think, oh, I have to suppress my anger. Your anger may be very well founded, but if that anger becomes mismanaged and becomes sin, that's being inconsistent to a person who wants to be godly and to be spiritual. And so God has given us the Holy Spirit to teach us how to love and to how to have joy and how to discover peace and how to be self-controlled. And you, some of you who are new here might think, well, you know, what does Bill know about this? Let me just tell you, Bill used to have red hair. I think redheaded people are the greatest people in all the world. But you may not want to cross them too quickly. Because anger, which is a good emotion, may be mismanaged in your face for a moment or two. Just my brothers were like that. So do you see what I'm saying? That anger is something that is good, but it needs to be in its place. And it needs to be managed well in order for me to be a godly person. The point would be that spiritual people remain surrendered. And to sin shows that I have a problem with God's timing and seeming lack of ability to bring about change. I need to talk to God about that rather than talk to everybody else about God. I need to not take out my anger. I need not vent toward everybody else when really I may be having a bigger problem with God. And it's just coming out in bad ways. Statement number 4. While I wait, worship God in attitude and action through righteous obedience. That's what he says here in verse 6. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. And whatever that means, whatever act of obedience according to the scripture, my will and my ways must be controlled by God's will and God's ways. And we discover that in the Bible. It reveals that I trust Him and I trust and obey. So the point is that spirituality means walking with God. Let me say this. That spirituality is not characterized by a feverish, low-grade frustration. Frustration is just another word for anger. Spirituality is not characterized by a feverish, low-grade frustration or by being irritable. Now, we all have our moments and we need to get back to self-control. We're not perfect. We all sin in many ways, as James, or stumble in many ways, as James would say. But if we have an ongoing irritability about us, that's not good. As I've said before, we don't want to be grumpy old men. And there ought not to be grumpy old women either. Anger needs to be kept within self-control, walking with the Lord. We ought not to be those who are flipping out verbally or dragging our attitude and being the silent controller. Negative, always disgusted with everything. May I say this to the senior population among us? Does that include everybody? I don't know. I have a big birthday this week, by the way, but I'm just becoming more seasoned. I'm not getting older. Let me tell you this. I've watched it. Seniors, watch for the fretting. Watch for the fussing. It happens as you get older. I've seen, some of you know exactly what I'm saying. You watch for the fretting and the fussing. It's coming out. And it could be anger not under control. It's so important to continue to offer right sacrifices, right acts of worship, right deeds in attitude and actions. Be consistent. Let me just finish up with saying this. Verses 6 to 8 have to do with a change that comes about. Who can offer us any good? Let the light of your face shine upon us, O Lord. You have filled my heart with greater joy than when grain and new wine abound. I will lay down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Verse 6, when I feel like no change is taken, and even God seems very slow about bringing about good, maybe I need to understand this, and this is what I've written down, that should God not be changing circumstances for us in answer to prayer, He is purposing to change character in us. If it doesn't seem like God is changing our circumstances, you can be mighty sure that God is more interested in changing our character so that we learn to be consistent even if nothing ever changes. And many things do not change. The cancer doesn't go away. The irritable neighbor won't move. The person in the workplace is still slumping. And those irritable people, see, I have to be careful because we're human too, right? I don't know what they think of me, but maybe I'm just too demanding. Maybe I'm too much of a get-it-done type person, and I'm fussing. I'm fretting, trying to control and manipulate the situation and make my voice heard. And that isn't what God wants to see. God is so working on our character that even if the circumstances never change, He is seeking to make us a spiritual people who can say, just like the psalmist here, God shine upon me. And when that happens, when God blesses us and we just grow in our love for the Lord, nothing around us may change, but I'm growing in my love for the Lord, I have greater joy. I have rest. I have peace. Not rest in peace, but I have peace within my heart because of what God has done. And God alone becomes my security. So just to close, nothing may change. But I change. And so God shines on me. And then God shines in me. And God shines through me. And I'm not sure if that's God's greatest purpose. Even if nothing changes and the wait times continue until death do us part. And next week I want to talk about waiting and sandpaper. The things that God does or allows, the wait times that sand off some rough edges in our lives. Let's take our final hymn. Well, it's going to be on the overhead. I am resolved. Let's plant our feet, and may these four statements help us to be a spiritual people. Let's stand together. So just a reminder to social distance while you're going out the door, but please would you sign the card for for B. Coleman and the family, which is out by the mailboxes, so we can send that off. Okay, appreciate it. Father, we thank you today that we've been able to talk about where we live, because many of us have experienced long wait times, and now even finding ourselves in times of waiting. We know on the good side that even we're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's been a long time. And for many, we certainly are thinking like, well, I like it here, but I want to go home. And going home is a very special thing to have before us. And so, Father, in our waiting, help us to be consistent. Help us not to lose it. Help us not to be worn down to the point of sinning. Help us to stand. Help us to represent you well. Maybe we'll be a light in a dark place. We want to represent you in that way. In Jesus' name, amen.